Good morning, everybody. Thank you guys for filling in this morning for Brian. Appreciate that. I'm Anthony, and Trey asked me to stand in for him this morning. So if you could, open up with me to the Gospel of John. So John chapter 8 will be in verses 30 through 32 this morning. Is anybody need a Bible this morning? If you do, raise your hand. We'll get some of those out to you. Anybody? Got one right there. All right, John 8, starting in verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise your holy name, Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And through the hearing of your word, Lord, help us to apply it to our lives that we may live a life pleasing to you, Lord, so that you may be glorified. Lord, I pray these things in the name of your precious son, Jesus. Amen. So as we go through this text today, we will see a contrast of what it means to be a true and false disciple. We see throughout the Gospel of John that this particular idea of true and false belief or true and false discipleship is a common theme that takes place. This is very important to understanding John's purpose of writing the Gospel of John. So what is his purpose of writing the Gospel of John that he wants us to understand? Turn with me to John chapter 20, and we'll see that real quick. So John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So his purpose of writing the Gospel of John is that you may have true belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have eternal life. All right, now let's flip back over to John 8. Sorry, we're going to be doing a lot of flipping today, so we've got a lot of scripture to go through. So back to John 8 and verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So as he was saying these things, what were the things that Jesus was saying that these Jews had who had just believed in him? For the sake of time, I will give a quick summary for the previous verses in this chapter. So Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the Jews in the treasury of the synagogue during the Feast of Booths. This is what he was saying. Number one, I am the light of the world. That's from John 8, 12. Number two, he says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Third, he says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father. And number four, he says, where I am going, you cannot come. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And then in verse 24, this is a big part of this scripture here. He says that he is God, and that if you do not believe that he is God, you will die in your sins. Then he ends with verses 28 and 29. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. All right, now we are back in verses 30, or back in verse 30 again. So as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there are two main themes that we are going to look at in these verses. First of all, there are some who will look like true disciples of Christ and will even confess to be true disciples, but truly they are not, they are false disciples. And then secondly, we will examine what it looks like to be a true disciple of Christ. So let's first look at what it means to be a false disciple. So as he was saying these things, back in verse 30, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now just reading these two verses, it truly is an evident that the Jews in verse 30 are false disciples. So how do we know that these Jews who had just believed in him are not truly his disciples? Look down in chapter 8 here, starting at verse 43. So our Lord is still talking to this same group of Jews that he, when he makes this statement, John 8:43, says, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." And then he ends verse 59. He says, "So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." So according to these passages, does it look like these Jews who had just made a profession of belief in our Lord are truly disciples? They cannot bear to hear his word. They are of their father, the devil. They are not of God. They pick up stones to kill him. So obviously, according to this, they aren't true believers in our Lord. So there are other examples of those who profess belief in Jesus in the Gospel of John, but we see that their belief is either temporary or false. So example one, turn with me to John chapter 2. John 2:23. John 2:23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people." So in verse 23, the word believe there, in the Greek is the word pisteuo. And if you look in verse 24, it says Jesus didn't entrust himself. So the word entrust there is the same Greek word pisteuo. So what it's saying is that they believed in Jesus, but Jesus didn't believe in them. All right, now example number two. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6 will be in verse 60. So here we will see the ultimate example of a false disciple. So John 6:60. "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, 'Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father.' After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.' He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." So we see here some of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him in verse 66. Then we see Peter, who is a true disciple, make a great statement of faith in our Lord. Finally, we see the ultimate example of a false disciple here, Judas Iscariot. Judas walked with Jesus throughout most of his entirely earthly ministry and was even entrusted with the money of the ministry as he was the treasurer. He betrayed Jesus, but in Scripture you see that none of the other disciples knew or suspected that Judas would betray him. So turn to John 13, and we'll take a quick look at that. So John 13, verse 21. So after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. So we can see here that even those that spent time with Judas, that none of them even knew who it was that was going to betray Christ. All right, then our final example of false discipleship, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. So Luke 8, starting in verse 4. We'll take a look at the parable of the sower. Luke 8, starting in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. So now look at down at verse 11, and Jesus actually explains what this parable means. So Luke 8, 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. So this is a clear example of true and false disciples. So in this group, we have three groups of people who look like believers in Christ, but over time, we see that they were truly never born again. Then in this group, we have an example of what it looks like to be a true disciple of Christ. So question, does this mean that these believers, such as Judas, lost their salvation? So turn with me over to 1 John chapter 2. So the Epistle of John chapter 2, verse 19. So 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. So what John is saying in this passage is that there will be people who proclaim to be Christians and maybe even look like they really are Christians, but will fall away. And those who fall away because they have fallen away is actual proof that they were never truly born again. All right, so now that we have looked in Scripture and have seen what it looks like to be a false disciple, now let's look again at John chapter 8 and verse 31 and see what it looks like in more detail to be a true follower of Christ. So John 8, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what does it look like to be a true follower of Christ? A true follower of Christ will abide in his word, and he will know the truth, which is Jesus, and the truth will set him free. So the word abide means to stay or to live. To abide in Christ is to follow his example of life by being obedient to the will of God and truly living and trusting in him for everything. So 2 John 1:9 says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Now turn with me to John 15, starting in verse 1. Like I said, sorry, we got a lot of turning going on. John 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified. Oh, I just read that, sorry. And so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So a true disciple in Christ, he will abide in him, and he will bear fruit. So now bearing fruit does not save us, but it is proof that God has actually saved us. So look at verse 8 again in John 15. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So bearing fruit means being obedient to the will of God. Over and over, Scripture speaks of true belief will be proven by our obedience or fruits. All right, so turn with me to John 3:36. Maybe on the screen there. So whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And then in 1 John 2, verse 5, it says, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So a true follower of Jesus Christ is one whom the Holy Spirit has given a new heart with new desires. Christ has set them free from sin and death and has made them a new creation in Christ Jesus. They will no longer walk by the desires of the flesh, but will want to do the things that are pleasing to the Father. Let me reiterate it again. Walking in obedience does not save anyone, but we are saved by the grace of God alone in Christ alone. But one who is truly saved will bear fruits of obedience. What does this fruit bearing look like? So as a true follower of Christ, they will have right belief in who Jesus is and what he has done. And that true belief will be manifested in the believer by him living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. They will love God and love his people. They will hate sin and live a life of daily repentance. They will abide in Christ and in his word. They will also display the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that is what a true believer looks like. Now that we have looked at these examples of true and false disciples, how can we apply this message from the Apostle John to our lives? First of all, if you are in Christ, give praise and honor and glory to him, for he has made you alive in Christ. Secondly, as a believer, abide in Christ and in his word. Live for him. Abiding means bearing fruit by being obedient to him and living every single minute in submission to him. Three, abiding in Christ also means that we cannot do this on our own. Without Christ, we can do nothing. So don't look to yourself, but keep your eyes on Christ. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And here it is, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, so then how else can we apply this message of true and false discipleship? How can this be applied to our lives? I would like to ask us to look at two warnings in Scripture, one from the Apostle Paul and one from our Lord Jesus Christ. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 13:5. We'll take a look at Paul's warning. So 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So Paul is telling the believers in Corinth to examine their lives to see if they are truly following Christ. He's not necessarily telling us to look backwards at our lives and see if at one time we said a prayer or walked an aisle. or made a profession of faith, or even repented of our sins. But what he is saying is, what is going on right now in your lives? Are you believing at this moment, Jesus Christ, for? Are you believing in this moment, right now, in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Are you continuing to live a life of daily repentance? Are you bearing fruit? Are you abiding in him? Most importantly, is he abiding in you? All right, now let's look at the warning from our Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So there will even be false disciples who profess belief all the way until the end. But hear the sobering words of our Lord: "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So the question is, could this be someone who is listening to this message right now? "I once was there. I too, as these Jews, made a profession of faith in our Lord Jesus. I said a prayer and asked Jesus into my heart and thought because of this prayer that I was right before a holy God. My profession was only lip service. On the outside, I was faking it, acting like I belonged to Christ, but on the inside, I was filthy. I lived in sin. I was a whitewashed tomb, as Jesus called the Pharisees, nice and clean on the outside, but on the inside I was dead, rotten, and stinking. And if I had died that way, I would have spent eternity in the lake that burns with fire, where the Lamb will be pouring out his wrath day and night forever. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in my trespasses, he made me alive in Christ. He saved me by his grace, to the praise of his glory." All right, continuing on in Matthew 7, in verse 24, he says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. That rock is Christ. Please understand this: Christ is the rock of whom we are to build our house upon. He is the I Am, God the Son, who took on flesh. He was born of a virgin, born under the law. He lived the perfect righteous life that none of us could ever live. The scripture says he always did the things that were pleasing to the Father. When he went up on the cross, the full wrath of God was poured out on him on behalf of sinners like you and like me. His last words from the cross were, 'It is finished.' For what he came to do had been accomplished. He died, then 3 days later he rose from the grave, defeating both sin and death. He appeared to more than 500 eyewitnesses and then ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father, where he is ruling and reigning until the day when he will return to judge all of mankind." Friends, understand this: we are sinful people and we deserve God's wrath. Ephesians 2 says, "If you are not in Christ, you are dead, spiritually dead and under the wrath of God and under the control of Satan." But listen to this: God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God on behalf of sinners, and if you trust in him, you can be clothed in his righteousness. So you may be asking yourself, what must I do to be saved? Jesus says you must be born again. He also says that you must repent and put your trust in him. Hear my plea. If you, as these Jews were, or as I once was, are claiming to be a Christian, but you have truly never been born again, repent and trust in Christ and his righteousness, and you will have eternal life in him. So hear the words of our Lord. Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then God says in Isaiah 45, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Worthy are you, O Lord and God. We praise your name. You are holy, 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 Lord, and we are not. We don't deserve anything, O Lord, but your wrath. Oh, what a wonderful Savior that you have given us in your Son. We praise you for your mercy and grace, for without it we are nothing. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here, Lord. Please help them to abide in you, Lord. And when we are struggling, Lord, I pray that we will not look to ourselves, but that we will look to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Oh, Lord, I plead with you that if there's anyone here whom you have not saved, that they will repent and trust in you. I pray that they will know the truth, which is Christ, and that he will set them free from the grip of sin and death. Oh, Lord, only you can set them free. Please, Lord, save them by your mercy and grace. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.